You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, guys? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald is here at the helm once again. My partner Andy is not with us. He usually does not do these bonus episodes, especially in October, because he is not, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but he's not a horror fan. He's not really into horror stuff. I don't know, really know why I'm friends with him, being that I know that. But for whatever reason, he's not. So he's not on these episodes this month very often. But what I did for this one, guys, I'm really excited about this one. So we're doing a top five as usual. And being that we're all kind of horror Halloween themed this month on Two Peas, I thought it would be cool to do our top five creature features. So creature feature films. And I got a guy that I just met, to be honest with you. I just met him a couple weeks ago. I know of him. I'm a big fan of his. But Josh is joining me. And Josh, I know from Lunch Meat VHS, which is a really cool kind of publication. I'm going to let him kind of tell you guys about it. But Josh, what's up, man? Welcome to Two Peas. You're a first timer, brother. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm honored, flattered, really excited to be here. So.
Absolutely, man. Why don't you tell people a little bit about Lunch Meat? Because, I mean, what you do is really cool, man. And I found out about it via the Alamo Draft House because, you know, they had some on display there and I purchased a couple of those and didn't really know a lot about it before, maybe 6 months ago. And I just think it's an awesome thing that you do over there, man. Why don't you tell everybody about it real quick?
Thanks, man. So Lunch Meat is a print and online publication dedicated to the appreciation, celebration, and preservation of VHS culture. So we just review stuff that hasn't made it to DVD, do interviews with, people, like just personalities, directors, actors, creators that existed within the video era that might not get airtime anywhere else, you know, kind of like obscure, but still totally radical creatives. And a lot of like just VHS culture, like collectibles and video store promos and all kinds of fun stuff like that. And the website mainly focuses on the culture right now. So right. People that are doing art in the community and people that are releasing VHS tapes still and, you know, all kinds of VHS centric stuff.
That's awesome, man. And I know Video Vortex there is a big deal here locally and it's just so cool, man. And you just really, you know, it's kind of like vinyl. And I feel like there's a resurgence coming with that stuff. And obviously, because you're at the forefront there. But I just love it, man. I love Lunch Meat. I love what you're doing. I love the Video Vortex there with the Alamo. And I just love that kind of nostalgia that comes with it. But, you know, aside from anything else, really. But did that play into a little bit of your list here, creature features? Are you going to be going back to the VHS era for some of this stuff?
Oh, you know it. I live there.
Absolutely. So
that's where I am, man.
Guys, I asked Josh if he could record his own audio for this. And he goes, I'm all analog over here, baby.
No, I got an iPhone and some headphones, so
that's awesome, man. Hey man, thanks for being here. It's gonna be a blast. You might bash me a little bit because I went pretty modern on my list, which I didn't intend to do, but there's just a couple movies that have come out recently that I just love so much that I feel like fall into this category. I wanted to go over and just real quick do the definition of a creature feature. Did you put any parameters on yourself? I mean, is there a certain type of film that you just won't consider a creature feature, or are you kind of wide open?
I it was really interesting and exciting because creature is so broad, you know, and I think like I had to just think about things,
yeah.
You know, like it's like monsters, but like kind of different. So right. No real parameters, but I was like, I asked my buddies, I was like, Return of the Living Dead, are those creatures? Because those are some of the best zombies ever put
right.
on film. Right. And he was like, that's a zombie movie. Yeah. And I was like, you're right. So there are some parameters.
And I did stay away from zombies too. So it's funny that you said that because yeah. I feel like that's its own genre at this point. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, you could have snuck that in there. But I mean, we should do a top five zombie flicks at some point. We probably will. But yeah, let me just real quick. So A creature feature is a film that focuses on a group of characters struggling to survive attacks by one or more antagonistic monsters, often abnormally large ones. And then it goes on to say all the different genres of film that they appear in, namely horror, sci-fi, fantasy. So I don't know. I feel like mine would kind of fall in that definition. We'll see. I'm going to let you go first, Josh. So Josh is the guest here. We're doing top five creature features for the month of October. I'm very excited about this. This is the last kind of Halloween themed episode that I'm going to be recording, at least this season. So I'm a little depressed. We've already got a couple in the bag, and this is the last one I'm going to record. So send me out with a bang here, Josh. I'm excited to see what you come up with. I'm going to let you go first, though, man. No pressure. I'm going to let you go first. What is your number five creature feature, buddy?
See, can I just preface this with, this was really difficult.
Yeah.
And like really fun at the same time. So the first one, I guess, is a little iffy, mm-hmm. but it's the segment The Raft from Creepshow.
Okay.
So I love that creature. And I know it's kind of like the Blob.
Right.
And it's kind of, but I mean, it's just such a cool idea. And it just scared the hell out of me when I was a kid, you know, and I just think it's so like, it's so innocuous because it's just like a puddle in a lake, but like, right. then it like
right.
eats your skin off your bones.
Right.
You know, and it's just, I mean, I feel like that's a creature.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Josh, one of the things I'm so excited to have you on, especially for this type of list, and, you know, hopefully you'll come back in the future, but this type of list, especially, I feel like you're going to bring so many to the table that I just haven't seen in so fucking long, dude. And,
oh yeah,
you know, Creepshow is one of those where I loved it as a kid, and I literally probably haven't put eyes on that in 20 years, if I had to guess.
Creepshow 2. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's good stuff, though, man.
Such a fun movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great way to get us started, man. Creepshow, The Raft there. I like that. So listen, I'm going in the opposite direction, dude. And like I said, you feel free to rip into me. I know we just met officially, but you can give me shit. This is definitely your forte as opposed to mine. But there's a couple movies that fall into what I would call a creature feature that I just love. One of them, and even, you know, people close to me that I work with are like, you're going to put that on your top five of all time? And I'm like, I don't know. It affected me so much when I saw it. But it came out this year, dude. It came out in 2018. In my opinion, it's probably the best movie that's been released thus far this year of any genre. Maybe Hereditary, which I also enjoyed a whole lot. But my number five is A Quiet Place.
Oh yeah,
Those
are cool creatures.
Yeah, you know, and the creatures are obviously alien in nature, but that movie, I mean, the creatures are cool, yes, and they have a Stranger Things vibe to them. Did you ever watch Stranger Things on Netflix?
I did. I watched the first season.
So I know there's a kind of a comparison there, which is fine, and I love Stranger Things too, so I'm actually okay with that. But the movie itself was just impacted me so much because, I mean, it's a silent film. I mean, it's like 2000 right. is 2018, and there's like literally maybe one page of dialogue in a 2-hour movie. And I mean, you know the premise of the film. You can't make noise or these creatures attack you and kill you. And you know, John Krasinski and his directing effort was amazing. Emily Blunt was amazing. I don't know the actress's name that played that actually is the deaf girl in real life. But yeah, just an amazing film. And it really just blew me away. I didn't expect it to be that good, to be honest with you. And I just rewatched it. I have it on Blu-ray and rewatched it last week. And it's one of my favorite movies of this year. And I feel like it's so modern, and they're able to benefit from the special effects that we have today. And just how kind of subtle that movie was. And it was a really cool family story, but you had these really creepy creatures kind of lurking around there. So A Quiet Place is my number five creature feature. Are you okay with that, or do you want to give me shit? You can give me shit if you want to.
I'm definitely not going to give you any shit, man. You can like whatever the hell movies you want, and I think it makes for a better episode.
Awesome.
You know, it's just, if you're on one side, and if I'm like on this other, like in a right. different part of the scope,
right.
I mean, you know, you just, more movies.
I agree with that, man. And, you know, my partner, Andy, and I did the top five movies to watch at Halloween time, and he was all like family-friendly stuff, and mine was all like, you know, slashers and horrors and stuff. So that was really cool, because, you know, we ended up with one crossover, Nightmare Before Christmas, but a aside from that, we had 9 completely different movies that would make a really sweet playlist in the Halloween season. So I agree with you. It's cool when you get a nice mix.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. So, Josh, you're up for your number 4, buddy. What do you got over there?
Okay, so I got to look at my list here. I'm going to have to go with Basket Case because Belial.
Good one.
He's totally a creature. He's like a humanoid deformity. Mm-hmm. He's like creature-ish. And he's absolutely insane and makes that movie amazingly fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the design, his character, like that character has just like, it's so popularized. It's so inherent of, you know, 80s horror. And
right.
It's because that character design totally rules. Like it's totally insane and how it comes to life in the film and everything just has to be mentioned. And it's one of my favorite horror films. Yeah. So definitely Belial from Basket Case.
Yeah, Basket Case is awesome. And I agree with you. That's actually on my honorable mentions. That's a good flick, man, from the 80s.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to my friend Brandon today because I was, you know, kind of coming up with the list and he's like Basket Case. And I was like, oh, shit. Yes.
Of course.
Like, absolutely. That's right in my top 5. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell is.
Sometimes you don't think about things in a creature-ish way all the time.
Right. Right.
But that's definitely a creature to me.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. And like I said, I put it on my list of about 15 or so that I have here. So absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. Great, man. Awesome pick. And can I ask real quick, don't give any spoilers. Don't mention any titles, but are all yours from the 80s? I'm just curious.
Let me see. No.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's all you need to say. I'm curious because, you know, I knew I was going to have you on and we were supposed to have a couple of my friends from the Epic Film Guys on and they're younger. You know, one guy that was going to come on is in his 20s and, you know, he was growing up like in the 90s and early 2000s. So I felt a little safer with some of the stuff I was picking because I knew I wouldn't be the only one diving into the 2000s. So, hey, like you said, we're all friends here. Let's just have an eclectic list. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. But with that being said, my number 4 is from the 80s. It's a little more mainstream, but it's from 1986. It is stars Jeff Goldblum. The Fly is my number 4. I know this is a remake. I don't have the year for the original, but I want to say it was in the 50s.
Yeah, Vincent Price. I think it was like 58.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, 58.
I might not be right. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Which is also a great film, and I remember that one too. It was a little slower, you know, and it was a product of the time. But you know that The Fly in 86, I was 12 years old. You know, so that movie just scared me. I mean, it was a nice mix of science fiction and horror. Jeff Goldblum's obviously a treasure. You got Gina Davis in there, and it's just a fantastical story about when you peel everything away, being a fly on the wall, no pun intended. And it's like, what would that be like? And you just kind of transforming into a creature slowly and not being able to save yourself from that. And as a viewer, that's a very scary scenario. And I remember that movie really scared me back then. Of course, I was young. And it doesn't hold up quite as much. I saw it last year. I watched it again at the Halloween season last year. I haven't watched it this year. It doesn't scare me now, but I mean, you know, it was a transformative movie in the 80s and it kind of fit in that whole, you know, it went mainstream. We were just talking about Basket Case, and I'm sure you have a lot of others that didn't necessarily go mainstream. And The Fly did, but I just remember it scared me and I love Jeff Goldblum. So it's got that going for it too. So.
Yeah, I mean, Cronenberg had to be on this list somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there has to be something, and I think that's the one. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like The Fly a lot. I like the original. I love Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, of course, Jeff Goldblum is a treasure. Gina Davis is awesome in that movie. Mm-hmm. It's really gross. It's really fun. Yeah, it's totally agree.
Awesome, man.
On the list, yeah.
Awesome, man. That's one of those that I would definitely see on the big screen at the Alamo if they ever decided to do that, The Fly.
We did do it.
Oh, you've already done it?
Ah, yeah.
Shit. So guess what? I missed it. I didn't even know that.
There's so much stuff that comes through there, man.
I know. Yeah. I was going to say I get most of the notifications, but I don't remember seeing that one. But that was a good one to do, I'm sure, because I would love to see that on the big screen. So, all right, man. So what? We up to your number 3, right? So what do you got for number 3, Josh?
Let me see. This probably should be higher, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go with like personal kind of because it's a top 5, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. That's what you got to do.
But I mean, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Hurry.
I've almost got it.
Yay! He got it!
No, don't shoot! Puppy, you might hit Kay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that is quintessential. Yeah. I mean, it's in the title.
Absolutely.
He's an abomination, you know, and I think that's what a creature is. He's a total abomination, but he's still humanoid. And, you know, it's just such a great classic horror film. Yeah. And absolutely one of the best creature creations that ever existed.
I agree.
In film.
I mean, it's one of the reasons why the term was created, creature feature.
Absolutely.
It's from those old monster movies, you know, so that one's right up there, brother. That's another one that's on my list, but didn't make my top five. But I agree with you 100% that's just a staple.
Yeah, that's just got to be in my top five because it's just such a I love that's my favorite Universal. And
oh yeah,
yeah, totally. And I think it's super influential to me, like growing up, you know, because I watched a lot of black and white monster movies and you know, in my like teens and stuff like that. So yeah. Absolutely in top five for me.
That's awesome, man. Great pick. Well, you keep doing this to me, so you pick these really awesome, just like vintage classics, you know, and then it comes up to me and I'm like, well, I got one from a couple of years ago.
That's great.
But listen, man, now this movie, I used to do a movie review website. I used to be a movie critic and write reviews for a website, and I had a blog, and I had it at the time this film came out, and I named this film the best film, and I'm talking about in any genre, just the best movie of the year in 2011. Now, this film was prior to, we were just talking about Stranger Things. It was prior to all that. It had a very kind of E.T., Stranger Things type vibe to it, but it was in 2011, and it was a mysterious creature, almost Godzilla-like in a way, but it is a film called Super 8, which was directed by J.J. Abrams and produced by Steven Spielberg. You familiar with Super 8? Did you ever see that one, Josh?
I am familiar with it. I don't think I ever saw it, though. I really don't. I remember seeing parts of it, you know, because I kind of just check stuff out, like trailers and stuff, but I mean, maybe I just saw the trailer. I don't think I ever saw that.
It's a great flick, man. You're going to tempt me to bring you the Blu-ray to make you watch it next time I come up there. But it's the creature itself is very mysterious. So you don't really see a lot of the actual creature until the very end of the film when, you know, the climax at the end of the film. So they kind of hide him and, you know, he has certain attacks throughout the movie, but you don't really see him until the end of the movie. The movie itself was just so impactful for me because I love that whole, you know, Stand By Me vibe and the kids from E.T. and, you know, even It that came out last year, Stephen King's It, that kind of vibe of the Losers Club. And, you know, this she's coming, it's a coming of age story, right? So being a fan of horror like I am, if I'm going to watch a coming of age story, why not do it in a horror movie? That's amazing, you know? So
it sounds like I missed it. I mean, you know, it sounds perfect. You know, I love coming of age stories too. And it's funny because I do watch VHS all the time, dude. Mm-hmm. And I just started working at a movie theater 6 months ago and I've been seeing more new movies, but
I'm
hanging out in my VCR a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, absolutely. And I understand that. And Super 8, ironically, that you said that has that kind of vibe because it's a period piece. It takes place in the 70s and Super 8's obviously in reference to the camera that they used to film. They're making a horror movie. They're making a student film for their school.
Right.
And
and it's something that I should have seen. Like it's amazing I didn't go see it, but I feel like
I just loved it. And it falls into the category of creature feature. So as soon as I know that I'm probably in the minority of people, especially, you know, vintage VHS guys like you, but I know I'm in the minority when you hear creature feature. Not a lot of people think of Super 8, you know, but it was like the first thing that came to my mind just because I loved that movie so much when it came out. I named it Best Movie of the Year in 2011. And, you know, J.J. Abrams, Spielberg. Elle Fanning is in there. She's the younger sister of Dakota Fanning. She does an amazing job in the film. But yeah, it's a great movie, man. You should check it out. And in fact, you know what? I'm gonna bring it to you. Do you have a Blu-ray player? I don't know. I don't have the VHS. I don't have the VHS.
I do. It's not hooked up. My grandmom gave it to me for a present like 6 years ago.
And so, of course, it's still in the box. I love it. I love it. You know what it is? It's in the box, and your VCR is on top of it.
That's pretty much awesome, man.
I was going to say I don't have it on VHS, but I can bring you the Blu-ray. But Super 8 is my number three. And if you have not seen it, guys, not just Josh, but anyone, I would definitely recommend checking it out if you like coming of age kind of suspense thrillers, because that's definitely what it is. All right. What's your number two? Yeah, man. I'm going to look to you for your review when you do see it. What's your number two, Josh?
Number two, surprise, surprise, another horror movie. Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, it's on my honorables, man. That's a good one.
Hello, Boo.
Oh my God.
Dude, that movie is so fun.
Yeah, it is a blast. It is a blast, bro.
And they're iconic, you know, and I think for good reason, and they're just so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of creature feature I like, you know, or like fun ones. And that one is just so much, so much ridiculousness all the time. And it's just the way they move and, you know,
yeah.
Chiodas Brothers are the bomb. So,
I agree. That's another one that I watched last year. I do this thing in October where I don't watch anything but horror, or I should say spooky, because some of them are like, you know, I have a 5-year-old son. So truth be told, tonight we watched Hotel Transylvania. So, you know, but I'm saying they're all kind of, you know, themed around the season. But last year I did Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and that was the first time I'd seen it. I didn't see it till last year. But I loved it, man. Just a lot of fun and just a throwback. You know, it just took you back to that kind of vintage era and just fucking crazy, man. I mean, it was just crazy.
It's very representative of the era.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and totally crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I was so glad I finally came around and saw that. And because obviously it's a huge pop culture thing and I was just late to the party. But that was a lot of fun, man. I love that pick. And it's on my list here, just on my honorable mentions. But yeah, it's a good one, man.
Groovy.
All right, brother. So we're getting to the nitty gritty here. So my number two, I actually just watched tonight. I rewatched it for probably, I don't know, the 10th or 15th time. I've seen it a ton. There's a scene in this movie in particular that I can talk about and explain why. But this was the first movie growing up that that's in my memory for being scared and not being able to sleep at night. And it's from a scene in this film that I kind of saw an accident because my parents were watching it on VHS. But it's a film from 1979 is when it was released in theaters. It's Alien, Ridley Scott, and obviously Sigourney Weaver starring in that film along with Tom Skerritt. Henry Dean Stanton's in there. Obviously you've seen Alien, correct?
The original,
okay. Yeah, and the sequel's amazing too, which I want to say came out in like 85 or 6. I can't remember off the top of my head, but the sequel was close to, I didn't know which one to put on here. I wasn't going to put both of them on here, but together it's just a powerhouse kind of back-to-back double feature. But I mean, Alien was just, and I just watched it tonight. Like I said, I mean, I just happened to throw it on. I was like, let me check this out. It's on my list and I haven't seen it in a couple years. And it still holds up. I mean, from 1979, it's crazy, you know, that it's still had that kind of palpable suspense as you're watching it. The first 30 to 40 minutes of the movie are kind of setting it up and nothing happens really. It's just kind of them walking around in these, you know, weird fields and, you know, nothing happens. But once the action starts happening and the alien is on the ship, it's a very tense kind of atmosphere of dread that exists throughout the rest of the movie. And Sigourney Weaver is just badass, man. I mean, Ripley is one of the all-time heroines in film. Throughout this series, but definitely in the first one. And Alien still holds up for me, man. It's one of my all-time favorites, and I had to put it on the creature feature. It's, I did A Quiet Place too, which they're aliens. But, you know, aliens, creature to me,
those
right,
Josh?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I
yeah,
feel
sure.
like,
okay,
you
good.
Know, the alien from Alien is
yeah.
quintessential creature.
Yeah, cool.
You know, I mean, there's movies that ripped it off for their movies.
Sure. And, you know,
so, I mean,
and I know you're going to appreciate this, but I mean, the practical effects, right? I mean, they're just so awesome, dude. And, you know, there's something to be said for the CGI and the computer graphics and what they can do today. But, you know, when you look back at a movie 30 years later, 30, 40 years later, and you can go, wow, this holds up. And then they did something right, because that could not have been easy to create that suspense of disbelief back in 1979 and throughout the 80s. So I really respect it for that, too. And they stayed true throughout the series, really, in the Alien series. I mean, obviously, the effects got better and more impressive, but they stayed very true to the original monster or the original creature from Alien. So that's my number two, man. Alien from 1979.
I mean, it has to be on here somewhere. It's on my honorable mentions for sure.
Awesome.
I think, you know, when I picked my top five, it was like personal connection, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, Alien is, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, if you haven't seen that film, that's essential.
Especially
if you want to watch like dark creature features. I mean, that's,
yeah,
like you said, a powerhouse.
Do you
I totally agree.
Do you prefer the original or the sequel? Because I know a lot of people like the sequel, Aliens.
I think I do like the first one
yeah.
more. You know, I'd have to rewatch them too. I haven't watched them since, you know, probably like, I haven't seen Alien in like 5 years. Probably Alien 2, probably like
yeah.
five. Same. I watched it at the same time.
It's just so, a power,
I mean, it's been a while.
It's just a powerhouse double feature, man. I mean, that you watch those two back to back and you're like, you can't sleep for 2 days. I mean, it's just like, it's intense shit. You know, Ridley Scott is a genius. And like I said, Sigourney Weaver, I mean, as Ripley has got to be one of the horror icons kind of right up there, you know, with Laurie Strode. And the, I mean, just, she's just a horror icon. Just she's just amazing. So that's my number two. Yeah. It had to be on the list, brother. And it's my number two, not quite my number one. You'll find out why when we get there. But let's go ahead. And are you ready, man? You feeling good over there? You got a good list going here, man. I the only problem is I think I'm going to have to go to the find these on VHS to be able to watch them. I think
all of these are on DVD. Actually,
I'm just fucking with you, man.
I'm
looking forward to go back and find these though, because I got to be honest. Yeah. Aside from Killer Clowns, I haven't seen any of yours in several years, so I'm looking forward to actually. That's why I love having, you know, first time guests on, because I don't know what their niche is going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hear and I'm like, oh yeah, I got to see that again, man. It's been so long. So you're kind of bringing back some of those memories for me. But this is Josh's number one creature feature, man. What did you decide on?
This is a personal favorite, and I think the creatures in this movie are absolutely awesome. The Gate.
Hey Terry, wake up. Terry. Terry,
what did you do to your hair?
Real cute.
Oh yeah, okay. All right. Another one I hadn't seen in forever, but yeah.
This is definitely my number one. I love this movie, and part of it was because the minions freaked me out so much when I was a kid. And you know, it's just like, just they're so cool. Mm-hmm. And the way they were created was cool, you know, because it was like people in suits and like forced perspective and some 3D animation, but like, and like the creature at the end, like the main demon,
yeah.
like it's amazing.
Do you remember?
It's like all one big creature,
yeah.
kind of, because like when the minions split up and things like that, it's like, it's because they're all one big unit. It's just like such a cool creature, you know, and it is like a demon, but still, I mean, right. when it manifests in this movie, it's totally creature-ish.
Right.
And I just love that creature creation, and it's also one of my favorite movies, so that's my number one.
That's awesome, man. Do you remember the year on that one, Josh, The Gate?
87?
Okay, so it was later 80s. For some reason, I was thinking it was earlier 80s, but yeah. I
think it might be 85. I think it's 87.
Okay, that popped up on a couple lists when I was doing some research online, and that's another one that I have not seen in so, so long, and I'm so excited that you mentioned it, because I just forgot about it. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love that movie.
I remember, and as you were talking about it, some of those memories were rushing back through my head of the demons and the creature. So that's cool, man. That's a good one. So The Gate. From a year to be determined. I guess I could look it up on IMDb, but I'm just being lazy.
Yeah,
but
the
Gate is Josh's number one. All right, man. So let me give you my number one. This had to be my number one, okay? Because I mean, there's several reasons, but the filmmaker is iconic. He's one of my favorite, if not my favorite. He created one of my favorite slashers, which is a different top five. He also created one of my favorite creatures, which has been mimicked, no pun intended. And there's been remakes, there's been prequels, but I just watched the original last week. I watch it every October, and it is the creature feature, in my opinion, at least mainstream, because I'll be fair to you, because I know you're pulling out some of the rarities, which is rare gems, which is great. But from a mainstream perspective, I feel like this is the creature feature, and it's from 1982, The Thing by John Carpenter. Is my number one. I mean, what else? I mean, what can I say about this? I mean, we're talking about practical effects. I mean, this is as good as it gets for practical effects. I mean, what they did in 82 with The Thing was phenomenal, based on the limitations that they had. I mean, you know, I could go on and on. Wilford Brimley being cast in this was awesome. I thought he was just such a kind of down to earth guy and fit the role so well. It's just one of my favorite movies, man. And I watch it every year, and I just love The Thing. I know it got some shit. I want to say it came out in 2010, but there was like a prequel they did. Joel Edgerton was in it, and it was a prequel to The Thing, so it was the Swedish team in the beginning of the 82 thing that we find out was killed, you know? And I even like that, just because I love the kind of folklore being revisited from John Carpenter's. So people hate on that, but I enjoyed it. But obviously, I'm naming 1982's The Thing as my number one. What do you think of The Thing, Josh?
I think it should absolutely be on this list. I mean, it wouldn't be a creature feature list without this movie. Mm-hmm. It's in my honorable mentions.
Awesome. I mean,
incredible creature effects in this movie. Unforgettable and still just really potent when you watch it now.
Imagine.
You know, you think about when it came out, and it's just like, the movie kicks tons of ass, dude.
Imagine how scary that was. Imagine how scary that was back in the 80s, too. I mean, this is before internet. This is before, you know, I mean, even cell phones, even. And, you know, just, it was almost like an alien spider, you know, and it was just like a weird, which I guess is why they appropriately named it The Thing. Now, I know this is a remake, too, and people are going to comment on Twitter that it's a remake, and I understand that. My connection and the reason that it's on my list is because of the 82 version, is because of John Carpenter. You know, I'm a giant Halloween fan. I love They Live, which I actually went to see at the Alamo when you guys screened it. Yeah, I mean, John Carpenter's a genius, and I have a little bit of a bias because of that, because he's one of my favorite filmmakers. But, you know, The Thing is just the practical effects, and it just takes me back to a place in the 80s, man, when I started kind of getting into horror. It was right at the beginning when I started getting into horror. So, in fact, I want to say, I don't know if The Thing came out in the same year or if I saw it in the same year as Michael Jackson's Thriller, but in my life, I had like all this stuff that was horror related that was literally happening at the same time. And I remember The Thing was a part of that. Like, Michael Jackson's Thriller was on MTV, and I was like, holy shit, I love this. Whatever this is, I love it. And then I saw The Thing shortly after that. My dad introduced me to the original Halloween shortly after that. So I kind of got introduced to all that in the same year, in like 82 or 83. And I've been a horror fan ever since. So I associate The Thing and the original Halloween with that kind of starting my love of horror. So I had to put it on the creature feature list, man, at number one.
I mean, it's an obvious choice.
Awesome.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean.
I just think it's dead on, man. And, you know, I would like to comment on the fact that, like, in the early 80s, there's a lot of good horror happening
there. Hell yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? And not that there isn't at other points mm-hmm. in history, but, I mean, those kinds of movies are still standing tall and, like, really representing horror mm-hmm. as a whole, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, like, that says a lot, too. It's, like, beyond the creature feature aspect and just, like, a great horror sci-fi movie.
Right.
And it's, like, absolutely go see it if you've never seen that movie.
So. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I agree with you 100%, man. I love all those old school vintage horrors. And, you know, I mean, that's when, you know, everything we see today, and I named a couple of them myself, like A Quiet Place, for example. But, you know, that's The Thing in 2018. I mean, that A Quiet Place owes that to the Thing and movies like The Thing. And, you know, any Alien movie, you know, Alien. You know,
yeah.
Any fucking, you know, I don't know if you ever saw Terrifier with Art the Clown that came out a couple of years ago. That's Killer Clowns from Outer Space, but just in a different setting. You know, so all like what you're saying, I mean, there was a horror renaissance in the late 70s, early 80s. And everything that came after that that's the archetype for that. Do you know what I mean? And I agree with you 100% that's kind of what started it all. And those movies are still living on, even in projects that are coming out today. So I agree with you.
Highly influential.
Yeah.
Highly influential movies.
Thank you for summing that up. That's basically what I was trying.
That's
basically what I was saying.
Yeah.
Let's see, man. I got, again, I went kind of mainstream, so I know you're going to blow me out of the water here, but do you want to give a few honorable mentions that you didn't throw in your top five?
Yeah, you want me to run them down?
Yeah, whatever you got over there, man. Sure.
Okay, because it's totally ridiculous, and I would like to state that I love black and white mm-hmm. monster movies, mm-hmm. and they're their own kind of creature features, so you should go check all those weird creations out. But probably my favorite, most ridiculous, robot monster, just a guy in a gorilla suit with a TV and a skull for a head. Amazing creature.
I don't know that I've seen that one.
Robot monster.
Robot
really good.
Monster, okay.
The Thing.
Yes.
The original It, because that is one crazy creature if I ever saw one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you like the remake of It? Did you like?
Dude, I haven't seen the remake yet.
Oh, really? You didn't see it? Well, yeah. I guess maybe
no,
you weren't.
I don't know. I don't know.
I was going to say, I guess maybe you weren't at the Alamo when it came out, right? Because I don't think you guys were open yet. I don't think. But yeah, no, it was good, man. It was good.
Small clown It screening coming up.
You should check it. And is it going to be for the new one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should do it, man. I don't know if I would do I don't know if I would do that because that's fucking creepy, but you should see it because it was really good. And they're doing a chapter two that comes out next year, which is, you know, direct continuation. But
yeah, I better get my clown suit ready.
I know, you better, man. But I love what they did with it. It was a good remake. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Ghoulies.
Uh-huh. Yep. Classic. Love it.
Love those guys. Mm-hmm. And Extro, but only because, like, I know you don't see that creature much, mm-hmm. but that opening scene in Extro.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
terrifying.
Yeah, I agree.
Terrifying.
I agree. I remember that too back in the day. So I got a few too, and a couple modern ones and a couple, throwbacks that you'll appreciate. But let's see. I'm going to go down them here. So from 2008, a film called Cloverfield, which was a really cool, again, kind of a hidden creature. You didn't really see it until the end of the movie, but you knew it was there. You knew it was almost Godzilla-like. And they also kind of capitalized on the found footage kind of just boom, which occurred after the Blair Witch Project in 99. And for the next 10 years, it was like every movie that came out was a found footage movie. So this one was cool because it had a nice mix of found footage and creature features. So I liked Cloverfield a lot.
I did see Cloverfield and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. And An American Werewolf in London. I know that transformation scene, man, alone, that five,
insane.
Yeah,
insane.
Just the practical effects in 81, dude, that they were able to accomplish with that. And we were talking about the Thriller video, very similar, you know, just like, holy shit, mm-hmm. you guys are able to do what you did there, which is crazy when you think about it.
The Thriller video scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here. And I loved it. I was like, I love how this is making me feel. Exactly. I put Jaws from 1975 on here. I love that movie. I'm just a big fan of that movie. I mean, when you watch it now, it is super cheesy. I feel like, it's obviously a mechanical shark, but what are you going to do? I mean, 1975, you were scared shitless if you were seeing that movie. So that was a creature you didn't want to go in the water when you saw that.
Yeah.
And then I got a couple on here that I didn't want to put in my top five because I don't know if they categorize. So I'm going to give them a shout out of my honorable mentions. But I love Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox. I love that movie. One of my favorite.
I love Teen Wolf too.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies from the 80s and just a blast, man. That's a feel good movie that I could literally watch anytime, anywhere. And I would just have a blast for 90 minutes. A movie that came out last year that actually won Best Picture of the Academy Awards, The Shape of Water. It was Guillermo del Toro, who's an amazing filmmaker. He actually got some shout outs on Twitter from some folks. But it's a love story. It's not a horror film. It's a love story and it's a drama. Michael Shannon gives an Oscar caliber performance. And it's a touching kind of unique story. You know, it's an underdog love story and it's really weird how they did it, but it works. And the main character is a creature. He's basically a merman. So,
well, Del Toro is a perfect person to make that movie right now too.
Dude. And then what else do I have on here? I had The Descent from 2005, which did you ever
see? Oh, yeah. I'm glad you put that on there. That movie is scary.
Yeah, those creatures are fucked up.
I
would not want to be in that cave, brother. Let's put it that way. And just a shout out to
Very effective horror movie.
It was. It really was. And then just a shout out to my son. You know, he's 5 years old, and he was like, I got a creature feature. And he actually did. He actually kind of got the concept, but he named Monsters, Inc., which is a Disney Pixar. But it, you know, features all monsters living in Monstropolis and, you know, tells the story of how monsters hide under your bed to scare kids and collect their screams. And, you know, on paper, it sounds like it would scare little kids shitless, but it's actually a very touching and funny story. So Monsters,
Inc. I love Monsters, Inc. Monsters, Inc. is a great movie.
Yeah.
So it's so funny, dude.
I wanted to throw that on there. I feel like that might maybe.
That's a good one.
Maybe categorized as a creature feature. All right. So Josh, you said you had a few more. Do you have a few more honorables that you don't want to forget? Go ahead.
I'm just going to run them down. I'm not going to say much.
Please. Yeah.
The Pit.
Mm-hmm.
Critters.
Sure. Oh, shit. I forgot about Critters. Yes. Critters. Absolutely. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Deadly Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
Castle Freak. Little Shop of Horrors remake, Gremlins, of course.
Yes.
The snake creature in Wishmaster.
Oh, okay.
So much ass. The Blob needs to be on here.
Blob, yep.
We said Alien and Predator. Predator definitely needs to be on here.
Yeah, Predator.
List.
Predator, too. Predator was on my honorables. I forgot to mention it. All right, so I'll tell you what, Josh. Let's go over to our social media, okay? And I want to see what you think of some of the fans' picks here. Some of them got mentioned, but let's see.
This is cool.
So we were talking about Guillermo del Toro earlier. So the unlucky ones over on Twitter said they have Pan's Labyrinth. Did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
I have. I like Pan's Labyrinth. It's good. I like some Pan's
There's
Labyrinth.
A lot of fucked up creatures in it. I'll tell you that much. Remember
they talking about the thin man though, probably?
Yeah, like the eyeless dude or whatever. With
yeah, he's crazy, crazy cool creature for sure.
He's fucked up. But like you said, Del Toro is perfect for those kinds of movies. Let's see. Our good friend Gidget Von LaRue from Australia. She's over there in Australia commenting, Josh. But she said, or she actually just put up a GIF of The Little Shop of Horrors, which I feel like you just mentioned that, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Audrey too, for sure.
That's a good
one. Amazing creature, yeah.
That's a good one. And let's see what else we got here. We got The Thing and Pan's Labyrinth getting shouted out by More Gooder Than, which I agree with that. That's good. And then we got, so, you know, I was talking about my five-year-old son, right? And there's this podcast that's really cool called Cadaver Cast. And what he does over there is him and his, I believe he's 6 years old now, but his six-year-old son, Al, they literally review all the movies that you love. So you should check out Cadaver Cast, Josh, because they do all the,
awesome.
It's awesome, man. So he shows his little son all the old black and white kind of, you know, monster movies from back in the early days, and they review them, and he kind of gives his impression of what scared him and what he thought was cheesy and, like, you know, everything. So Cadaver Cast, this is kind of a list that was composed by the dad and the son, but here's the list. I'll run through them because he's got a lot on there. He says Gremlins, Alien, Tremors. Neither one of us said Tremors.
Is amazing.
Yeah, we should. I forgot about Tremors. That's right, though.
We're actually playing that on Monday.
I know. I saw that. The Blob, obviously King Kong. I mean, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Fly, The Thing, Frankenstein, Critters, Willard. Willard's a good one.
Willard is a good one.
It's the giant rodents there. The Tingler, Them.
Oh, yeah.
The Tingler, yeah.
I love Them. I love that choice.
Them. Yeah, I know you love some of these. Grizzly, Cloverfield, Empire of the Ants, and then I have a soft spot for Piranha 2, he says.
Well, who doesn't? Exactly. Movie is ridiculous.
It's like, join the club.
It's ridiculous.
join the club.
There's just so many. There's so many. And it's such a fun, engaging topic because we all love creatures, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad that last list had some good 50s black and white on it, because those were creatures really came from.
That was good, man. You know? And then to wrap it up over on our Facebook fan page, guys, make sure you join up on our Facebook fan community, because that's where we interact with our fans most of the time. Let's see. What do we got over there? So Michael Hill over on the Facebook fan page said The Monster Squad, Van Helsing, and The Mummy. And he also put Lost Boys on here. I kind of stayed away from vampires personally. What do you think about? Do you think vampire? Because I feel like vampires kind of like zombie, where it's its own genre.
I feel like it's a different department for sure. But yeah. I love Lost Boys.
Lost Boys is a great.
Monster Squad was a good suggestion because it has all the creatures.
It does.
So, and I love Monster Squad.
And that's a good family friendly one too, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't know anymore.
That's true. Maybe not. Tony Dobbish over on the Facebook fan page said he's always loved that turn scene in American Werewolf. That's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
I mean, that transformation is tops.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can get much better than a werewolf transformation on that.
I agree. And then he also named Night of the Creeps and The Thing, which, of course, I agree with. Ashley over there, to wrap us up, she said three that we did mention at one point or another: The Thing, The Descent, and Monster Squad. So there you go. That's the fan feedback there for this bonus episode. Josh, look, man, you're awesome, dude. I'm so glad that we're kind of forming this new friendship, and I hope you get to come on in the future. You know, maybe we can do like 80s rare gems or something like that, because I got some up my sleeve, and we'll lay something like that down in the future. But real quick, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you online or social media, wherever you want to point them to there, Josh?
Cool. So you want to go to lunchmeatvhs.com and check out the blog, or I'm on all the social medias as lunchmeatvhs. So if you just look up lunchmeatvhs, you will find me. And go to vhsstival.com, because I'm throwing a total VHS party at Alamo Draft House Raleigh. 2 days and nights of total VHS party. Screenings, tape swaps, all kinds of VHS culture going on there at Alamo Raleigh. So vhsstival.com, October 20th and 21st.
Yeah, awesome.
Hey,
man, thanks for all you do. You know, I mean, Lunch Meat, you know, I know it's not like a major thing, but it's just so cool for people that it's just not as easy to find that stuff anymore, man, you know, and you do a really cool thing where you make it accessible, and you can flip through the pages of that, and you go, oh, shit, you know, I forgot about that, or what's this? I haven't seen this. And it's really cool to kind of have a go-to for that. And I know it's online too, which makes it convenient. So keep doing what you're doing, man. I love it. And I really, really am thankful that you came on today, okay?
Thank you so much, man. I had an absolute pleasure. It was a blast.
Absolutely, man. So look, you guys can find all of our information in the show notes as well. This has been another bonus episode for October. Like I said, it's our last October-themed, kind of spooky-themed bonus, but I had a lot of fun doing these. It's my time of year, man. So we'll be back doing new ones next year, I'm sure. So for Josh, this is Gerald signing off of this bonus episode, 2Ps. We'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.